I think it's when it's that sort of that clean sheet, and it's the fun of coming up with a new idea or a new spin on an idea, and you've got very few constraints.
Certainly a lot to learn in this episode. Hello, my name is Dom Evans. I'm head of production for Fox FM in Melbourne. And in this podcast, I'm talking to audio producers from all around the world about how they craft the sound of radio stations. This is Prodcast. My guest today is James Stodd, a producer who has a tremendous amount of experience over a very long period of time. Amongst other things, he's worked at the BBC and Capital, and now is group production director for Sell It All Radio. Now, they have 30 separate radio licenses across 6 locations. And he also looks after the Avalanche Library for Bennstown. Now, you can't cheat time and you can't cheat experience, but you can talk to people that have done it for a long time and have a lot of experience. So let's do that. James Stodd.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Hello, nice to meet you too.
Yeah.
Hey, I tell you, I got such joy out of listening to the work that you sent me.
Well, thank you.
Such an incredible back catalogue of imaging that would make most very jealous, I suspect.
I think that comes from having been doing it for a very long time, to be fair, and lots of different stations.
How long have you been doing it for?
I've been doing it for a long old time, over 20 years probably.
Hey, this is Madonna.
Capital. London's hit music station.
Come on. Capital. Madonna. 95.8. Come on, boy. I've been waiting for
somebody to pick up my stone. Can we talk about your time at Capital? Because I opened the stuff you sent me and the first thing I saw was a 24 promo and you won me over straight away. I loved 24 and that was a fantastic promo.
The following takes place between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m.
Hi, it's Johnny.
This is Jack Barrow.
You still coming on the show on Monday?
I managed to retrieve the hard drive.
I get that, Jack, but he's still coming in.
Do you think London would have any additional data?
Well, it's a busy city.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's a busy man. But the point is, Jack Barrow, Keith Sutherland, will be live on the show on Monday.
Capital Breakfast, weekdays from 6.
I mean, what a great way to promote an interview with Keith Sutherland. And at the time, I'm guessing 24 was the hottest show on TV. It certainly was in my house anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the times when we had quite a lot of creative freedom. In fact, I think at the time, the PD was a guy called Scott Muller, who'd come over from Australia, and I'd heard of him. Yeah, and he was, and so he came with this sort of Aussie sensibility of creating quite filmic promos sometimes, and telling stories, and having lots of fun on air as well. So being able to use the morning show host Johnny Vaughan and have him sort of interacting with clips or writing sort of sketches was good fun to be able to do, because he could deliver it. And, you had the sort of guests where that sort of thing made it worth doing as well.
And the Oscar goes to
Johnny Vaughan.
Win your red carpet trip to LA
with Virgin Holidays.
Capital Breakfast.
The Vaughan stuff in there is fantastic. You hear a lot of people talk these days about cut through. It's almost become a bit of a buzzword. I mean, that sort of seems like quite a good way to cut through that noise, I think.
Yeah, well, it was certainly stuff you wouldn't hear stuff in that sort of style elsewhere back then, I think. It was certainly when you were talking to Stax a few podcasts ago, he was talking about there's lots of stuff on the station which is standard and just doing a job, and then there are these sort of standout things, and it's very easy to think, well, the station was like that all the time. We didn't do this all the time, but having the ability to do it does allow you to be more creative than just, next week on the breakfast show, Kiefer Sutherland, whatever. And, actually writing a sketch around him and Johnny and whatever is a lovely way of doing it, particularly when you can take that sort of very that iconic intro that you had on every show of, the following took place between this time and this time. Cutting it between six and nine makes it sound like he's instantly voicing your breakfast show promo as well.
The following takes place between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m.
Fantastic. What I'm hearing is effort. We call them donut promos in Australia. I don't know if you've heard that phrase where
Yeah.
That's such a lazy way of doing things. Not to take away from, but, like the office bike that pushes towards the website, again, another great example of just pushing outside the goalposts a little bit.
Capital.
A bike.
Go.
A stopwatch.
It's slow, it's slow.
An office.
Oh, no!
And Johnny Vaughan.
As soon as his back wheel goes through this, I'll press it, yeah?
Watch what happened at capitalradio.com/breakfast.
Yeah, they were nice ideas because those promos actually ran as part of the news sequence. So you'd come out of the ads, you'd hear that little 10-second tease. You know, it's Johnny Vaughan, an office bike, and something. And it literally, you know, minimal voiceover, minimal clip. You know, three things. It was thing. You know, get the latest online at capitalfm.com. We did another one where it was the breakfast. One of the guys on the breakfast show, Welshy, he'd been sent up on a plane to do wing walking. You know, so you strap him to the wings of a plane and he does a loop the loop or whatever.
Brilliant.
And it's just just hearing someone, you know, just going ah like that is enough. You know, and I think those things you very rarely do them. And I think teasing people on to go online to see stuff. I mean, this was back in. Again, this would have been, 2006, maybe 7, that sort of time. So very early YouTube days, if even YouTube was there. I can't remember then. But, we'd have online video.
I think
video,
it was just coming out, yeah.
You know, so that sort of stuff was quite innovative back then, I guess. But being able to do it and promote in a different way, you don't need a 30, 40-second promo. You could just say, want to hear more of this? You know, or find out what happens when this happens. Tiny clip, head online now.
Yes,
is sometimes enough. I think
there's something built into us as humans that goes, I just have to find out what happened to Johnny.
Absolutely, it's the intrigue, and I think sometimes the tease and the intrigue can be all that's needed. Sometimes the tease, is actually better than the final result. But
I was going to say that.
But you've got the people there, then so you can then give them some more information or get them into it as well. I mean, I think that's equally important these days with online video content. It's that sense of how long is too long and what you're actually doing. Why would people watch it? So it's that finding that thing that's memorable and the unique hook to it, I guess, as well.
Yeah. And then so the BBC. Two stints at the BBC, one as a more junior operator, and then you came back in quite a senior position.
Yeah, the junior position was Southern Counties was a sort of local station, so that job was weird. It was in the morning. I'd go in and studio up the breakfast show, so getting callers and lining up guests. Well, not I wasn't producing it. I was just doing all the technical stuff. But then I'd make the promo. So essentially, was a station sound producer, even though they didn't really have someone who was called that. So it's making promos and making imaging. But the job I did after Capital was a job at the BBC in a team called the Cross Trails Department, which I'd never really heard of until I left Capital, really. And this was a team that work within the marketing department of BBC TV. And they work on promoting TV shows on the radio, but also other BBC things. You'd be doing a promo for the new series of Doctor Who or Top Gear.
What do you mean, a Le Mans star?
3, 2, 1, go.
Just turning left into Acacia Avenue.
Now I'm going to roll it into the corner.
This is just stupid.
Ow. Are you two just trying to think of challenges that you reckon my car can't do?
Yes, no.
A bit.
The boys are back.
Yes, everything's all right, everything's all right. Whoa, everything's not all right.
The new series of Top Gear, coming soon to BBC Two.
That's so cool.
Probably my favourite thing, the quickest thing I ever did, and in BBC it can take months to get some of these projects off because of how they work. The quickest thing I ever did was a promo for Top Gear. Literally, there was nothing to work with. The marketing manager said it. I'm really sorry. Literally, all you've got is this track, which I think was an AC/DC track that the producer liked, and about 2 minutes of literal clips of them doing stuff from one of the edits of their opening sequence. And she said, can you make something out of it? And it's just one of those sort of dream things where you just load of clips into your timeline and the music, and you think, right, okay, it's going to be 30 seconds. So I sort of cut the music to 30 seconds or whatever and then start pulling clips and things, and it just falls together. And I'd literally done it in an hour. And, I sent it over to her and she goes, how have you done it so quickly? They couldn't understand the speed of speed of working when they're sort of used to this sort of glacial speed of having to go through different sign-offs and things. And so it was all of that sort of he's just used to doing that in commercial radio, being quick and coming up with stuff quickly. And when stuff just falls into place sometimes, that's nice to achieve as well.
Right here, Capital Radio.
95.8 Capital. It's the many hats thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's being able to hear stuff. I always have a... it's a thing that I think it's just a thing you're sort of born with, that you can hear the rhythm of an edit and know where stuff needs to place and where words need to start and where phrases of a script need to hit posts in the music. And I think I get it because I just have done it for so long. But I think part of it is also, I don't know, whether with music particularly, you know, when I first was doing production, obviously if I had to do a music bed, I'd have to edit it, and it was done on quarter inch tape. So you're sort of having to absolutely get the musical edit and the beats right to make it sound right. You couldn't see it or whatever. So making sure that rhythmic part works is sort of attuned into my head, I think. And I've got a junior producer I work with who's learning really quickly, but sometimes doesn't necessarily always hear where the placement needs to be. And I think it's just because you just get used to it. And when you know it, you know it.
Five, guys, Chief. Four.
Maroon 5.
Three. It's your girl, Fergie.
This is Mika.
One. Today's best music.
This is Capital. 95.8.
Capital.
We're on it.
So, everything is average nowadays.
Capital 95.8.
I hope you know. I hope you know.
This is Kate Nash.
I always get giggly when I have to do these things.
Fingertips are holding on to the cracks in our foundation.
The Sound of London.
Capital 95.8.
I'm starting to worry about pay.
It's something we've been talking about a lot, is art or science? Can you teach it? What's the X factor? I mean, you would have seen so many producers come and go. What do you recognise between the really successful ones? Is there a common theme or a commonality of the long-standing producers?
I think there's two types. There's either the type who are incredibly creative and not necessarily, you know, the most technically brilliant, but have got amazing mad ideas, and then you've got ones who are sort of a combination of both, and then you've got the ones who sort of don't really get it. People either have it or they don't. I think you can teach people techniques. And you can teach people the format. You know, you can give them a template and you can give them work parts and you can say, this is how it sort of needs to go together. But I think you just hear it. If you have the ear for it, you get it. And, you know, you think of some of these great producers who are working, you know, who are on these big brands, and they have a brand sound, and the ones who lead it have the ear for it, and they have producers working with them who can sort of deliver that. But it's finding out whether they can sort of step out of that and say, well, how about this, and coming up with those new ideas. And it's really weird because I'm definitely not a technical producer. If you ask me how I make stuff sound, how I make it sound, I have no real idea. I mean, I sort of understand, you know, I shouldn't admit it, you know, I sort of understand compression and EQ and whatever, and I sort of know how to sort of mold and shape stuff, and, you know, if I can't hear something punching through, then I know how to sort of get it working in the mix, but I don't necessarily understand all the science behind it, but I know what works.
It's the question London's desperate to answer.
Who's doing?
Even celebs want to know. Like Lily Allen.
Who is doing who?
Nelly Furtado.
Who's doing who?
Rachel Hunter.
Do you mean who's doing who as in who's actually doing who?
And as for the half,
is Madonna doing Robbie?
He's easily confused.
Is Carly doing the Pussycat Dolls?
Only he knows what he's talking about.
Is Madonna doing the Pussycat Dolls? What?
Capital Radio.
Who is doing who?
Keep it on Capital to win.
I think it's actually quite easy to teach people the technical side, but it's really hard to teach people the style, which I think is what you were getting at there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because knowing what goes together with something else, you were talking to Brendan from Triple M. That's right, yeah, the other podcast. And he was talking about sort of music montages and things. It's that thing of knowing what goes with the next thing and how it sort of blends together. You sort of sometimes just hear it. You know, and you'll hear a song and you go, I know what will go with that. And I think some people have got the ear for it and some haven't. It's like when you're taking, you know, I have to make branded intros. I used to do them at Capital, and I used to have sort of vocal work parts, and I have to do them now for our station, Fire.
I've got a
Hey, this is Aloe Black.
The most hit music.
This is Fire.
Remember we sat in the cold, no money in Montreal.
Finding a the vocal that goes with the song, I think, you've got to have a musical ear. And you've got to be able to hear what's right and what's wrong. But some people have it and some people just don't have a particularly good pitch. You know, so it's that musical background, I think, is quite important. I don't play the piano, but I know how, you know, musical keys work and whatever. And I did learn a musical instrument when I was younger. So I sort of have that sort of background. But I think with the musicality is quite important in this whole sort of way of working.
Mm, out of interest, what was the instrument that you learned?
At primary school, I played the recorder, which I think...
Yeah, so did I. I was terrible at it, though.
Yeah, I think I was too. You just blow loudly, and that's how it works. And then, I played the clarinet. I was in the school concert band, but I got it to a sort of basic level, but I don't think I could play anything on it now.
I played the cello for a short space of time, and bringing that home from school on the bus was a nightmare.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of call for cellos in modern radio music imaging, I'm sure.
Yes, that's right. I'm not missing out on anything. So let's talk about your integrateds. That's what we call them in Australia. I think they're probably... Are they called branded intros in the UK?
Branded intros, power intros, those sort of things, yeah.
We all know what they are.
Been waiting for...
This is Liam Payne.
This is Reese Orr.
The most hit music.
This is Fire.
They add a tremendous amount of brand value to a radio station, you'd probably agree.
Absolutely. And I think they work in different ways, and they work in different formats. But also there is sometimes a danger of trying to be too clever as well, because I got to the stage with some of them that I was doing at Capital towards the end, where I was really sort of making a rod from my own back, where I was trying to get the three-note Capital logo into them as well. So I'd sort of hide this sort of musical dee 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 into things, and I then tried to have to, you know, try and find an instrument that was close to the instrument as well, and having those sort of things in there. And I remember I was really proud that everyone I got this sound in. And I remember telling someone, he goes, "Really? Well, I'd never noticed." And it's
soul destroying.
Yeah, well, my mindset was, well, it's a subtle thing and it's just there. But then you think, well, actually, yeah, but was it, you know, was the message still getting through? And it probably was, but it's the case of sometimes you don't necessarily need to do that. So now, you know, certainly with the stuff I do for Fire, there'll always be a one of the Fire vocals in there to start it off somewhere.
S-I-R-E, we're just Fire,
Memory.
This is Fire.
It's a good name for a radio station.
If you say you love me, I say you're crazy. We'll always, 99% of the time, have the voiceover going, the most hit music.
The most hit music.
And this is Fire or Fire. They're the key things I have to have in there. You know, but then I quite often find myself listening and going, right, I've done it. Now, how do I chop it down in half and make it shorter? You know, or occasionally we'll use one of the pre-built intros from Real World, from Production Vault, if I'm sort of up against it as well. And again, you sort of use that as a toolkit, and then maybe just cut it down to make it work for you. Because the important thing is how you hear them on air and how they sort of flow on air. And it's that thing of, essentially, these are nice, tightly crafted sweepers built into a song just to make the flow between a song start and end.
When are you most in your element, James? Like, when do you get that project where you just sit down and go, oh, I'm going to clear the decks, I love this?
I think it's when it's that sort of that clean sheet, when there's no real rules of what you've got to do. It's just I want to create something because we've got a new thing to promote. And it's the fun of coming up with a new idea or a new spin on an idea, and you've got very few constraints. We did a show launch campaign for our new morning show on Sam FM.
Are we rolling?
Damien and Jules.
Here for action.
Go!
This is Sam FM Breakfast.
And this is when Jack FM rebranded to Sam FM. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. So we that was one of the things that made me want to. We moved out of London in 2012. Couldn't really face commuting up to London every day to carry on working at the BBC, and I was also missing commercial radio in terms of the immediacy and being able to get very hands-on, because at the BBC there was a lot of writing, and there was a lot of meetings, and there was a lot of project managing, but not so much actual making, which would have been fine. But I just, one day I tried opening up Pro Tools and I couldn't, I was doing something really simple, but I thought I need to work out the BPM of something, and I couldn't remember how to do it, and I couldn't remember how to do something else, which I was doing all the time. I thought, this is really weird that I've suddenly forgotten how to do some of the basic things, and I thought, I don't want to forget this, so that's why I moved.
Yeah. I just wanted to play a bit of your launch sequence, because everyone loves a launch sequence.
Welcome to Sam FM. Your new breakfast show is currently downloading.
That's going to be a big problem.
Please wait.
Would you ever discuss
the size of your boobs or your dick?
Won't be long.
Buffering.
Subscribing to new audio feed. Power on. Transfer rate at 4.79 megabits per second. Sending audio. Light is green. You're good to go.
Okay, all flight controllers, gonna go for power descent. Retro, go. Fido, go. Guidance, go. Control, go.
We're going on that flight.
We're drawing that alarm.
Damien and Jules.
This
is Sam FM Breakfast.
The idea for that, I sort of had this idea, I don't know where it came from, for a rogue AI type character.
Welcome to Sam FM.
The idea was we'd run teaser promos where they were saying your new breakfast show is downloading. You know, and it's essentially that was the thing, and we wrote a whole heap of lines. It was me and PJ, the good producer I work with in one of our other sites, wrote a load of lines. In fact, I think Damien, the Breakfast Show host, also wrote some of this stuff, and we found this character voice. Helen Quigley, she sort of created this slightly bored-sounding ship's computer, but it had attitude. So sometimes, you know, you have to try these ideas and see what you come up with, and then sort of tame them or pull them back a bit and just use the best bits from them. But it's nice having that clean sheet just to go, okay, I'm going to try a new idea and see what happens.
And I was just going to say, the Late Night Legends opener actually really stood out to me.
Record-breaking. Uniting.
Chart hopping.
Heart stopping.
World conquering.
Icons of music.
Turned up to 11.
Sam FM's Late Night Legends.
1 hour of the biggest names in music history.
It sounded like it was three riffs with the two VOs, but there was something just very attention grabbing about it. How did you approach that one? Were you given much of a brief or?
So yeah, it came from wanting to create something a bit different, because I think the previous opener we'd had for it was in the beginning, the gods of rock created music whatever, and it had songs in there, but it was just a different feel. So we just wanted to highlight some of these key artists, and so you had riffs, and we had quite like the idea of this rhythmic record breaking song. Creating blah 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 blah. It's probably off the back of that old Pepsi commercial from years ago. You know, the thirst quenching, lip smacking, blah blah blah. You know, it's just a rhythmic words thing. And I think sometimes being able to do that and cut it with the music can work really nicely.
1, 2,
we had a radio.
And Jules.
Don't stop.
This is Sam FM Breakfast.
And so, say when it comes to creating the sound of a promotion, what sort of things will you look for in creating that sort of sound?
Quite often, trying to find a song that will work nicely for it, or has that right vibe for it. I think thinking way back at Capital, we did a We did a promotion, again, I think it was in Scott Muller's time, which was called Under Pressure.
Can you take the pressure?
My brain's just gone blank. It's I know this one. Hang on.
Think fast.
I know it.
Win big.
I don't know.
Cap is 95.8.
From Monday.
The obvious thing was to try and do something with Queen, David Bowie, Under Pressure, but it's not very beaty. So it was, for that one, it was taking either an a cappella or a bit of the song that was usable and then sort of creating a bed that had a feel to go with it and have that running as the promotion bed and having working in the promos as well. But sometimes songs just appear and you hear a lyric in them and you can take something out of it. But it's not always the be-all and end-all, but and sometimes it can be a bit cheesy just to try and shoehorn something in.
No, you're 100% right about shoehorning it in, but I think when you get it right, it can add so much power to listener recall. But then sometimes you're right, you hear something and you think, oh, that doesn't work, but you wanted it to work so badly.
Absolutely. And I think in this job, you have to be prepared to sometimes throw stuff at the workstation and see what sticks. Sometimes, and be prepared to walk away from it and come back to it another day and see, no, it's not working. But, you know, but sometimes then something will give you an idea of what does flow.
It's a beautiful art, and it's about that toolbox, having all your stuff there so when you need something, you've got it at your disposal.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's having that ability to be organised, and I'm quite organised. I'm not as organised as I should be.
Amen.
Yeah.
But there's nothing worse than hitting that search box and going, I need that thing, and you type it in and nothing, and you're like, where is it? I need it.
And you then sort of have to work backwards and think, well, what did I use it in? What would I have called it? Why would I have called it? You know, so actual a logical file naming structure is really useful.
I always keep my Word document titled the exact same way as the voice file. So when I type in, you know, James and the date, the Word document comes up just below it.
That's a brilliant idea.
I mean, it's
yeah.
simple stuff, but, you know, because if you haven't got the scripts and you've got a 45-minute VO file, that's a world of pain.
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so being able to do that is pretty cool.
James, you've been doing this for such a long time. If someone's just starting out, what do you wish you'd known sooner?
one thing is quite a lot to be honest. You know, make sure if you're using Pro Tools, make sure you've got your session file backup setting set.
Yes, that's a good one.
That's saved my life so many times. You know, I think I don't forget, you know, how many times I'm automatically doing Command S or, you know, the save thing. I just do it automatically without thinking. But there's always times when you're making something, oh, no, I hadn't done it, and it's 5 minutes back and whatever. So that's, yeah, no.
It's always the best bit too.
Yeah, absolutely. Although, to be fair, you come back and you make something better, so it's usually a good self-editing tool. Maybe it's Pro Tools to say that shit. Now it's that making that network of contacts and reaching out to people, and I didn't do that enough earlier on. If I didn't do that enough earlier, even when I was at Capital, because I think there wasn't so much ability then to do that. But now, you know, with every opportunity of, you know, SoundCloud and Twitter and LinkedIn and whatever, you can find people and get in contact with people and start building friendships and, you know, professional relationships with these people to sort of find out how they do it and hear their stuff. And, you know, if you hear something, you can get in contact very easily now and say, how did you do that? Or can I hear that? Or can I play you this? Once you make that first step, you know, you find that whole sort of world of people out there who are doing your sort of thing.
And you find that people are absolutely happy to talk to other people in this field.
Absolutely. And because I think people love what they're doing. And to be honest, they probably bore their other halves if they talk about it. So they've got to talk to someone.
That's right. Well, on that note, can people reach out to you? What's the best way if people want to make a connection with you, what would be the best way?
Well, I'm on Twitter at James Stodd, and jamesstodd.com is my website. So there are probably two places to find me. And I'm on SoundCloud and same thing.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on my podcast, James. This has been an absolute pleasure.
It's been great fun to talk. Thank you for inviting me. And it's just great to hear different people talking about different stuff. So it's always a pleasure to talk and talk about the stuff I enjoy doing. And I hope people enjoy it as well.
What an awesome chat. I really enjoyed that. It was an absolute pleasure to meet James Stodd over Skype. Hopefully one day we get to have a beer together. I look forward to that, James. Hey, thanks so much for listening. It's been awesome, the reception that I've had, and I'm lining up some really exciting guests. If you're interested in coming on this podcast, send me an email, prodcastshow@gmail.com. And even if you don't want to come on the show and you just want to have a chat, send me some work, please do that. I'm at Dom Evans AU on Twitter, and I will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening.